Our psalm reading today is from Psalm 72, 10 through 14. I did not mean to put Psalm 71. So Psalm 72, 10 through 14. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over to the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So what images come to your mind when you think of these wise men in Matthew's gospel? Having sat through many children's performances, I'm sure all of us have, sometimes it can be hard to imagine them as anything other than our sons and grandsons or nieces, nephews, whoever it may be, dressed in robes and paper crowns. For others, the heroes of the passage may bring to mind men in long flowing robes, these giant beards and these big turbans. I don't know how they fit it on their heads. Every year, most of us receive at least one Christmas card with these wise men on the cover. They're usually either kneeling at the side of Jesus' crib, or they're going across the desert on their camels, following the star at night. In our nativity sets, they are even rubbing elbows with a shepherd from Luke's gospel. We see them in all these places, but we really don't know much about them. Matthew talks a little bit about them here. That's about all the information we have. Scholars, they look into this and they say, well, they probably weren't kings. They could have been, but maybe not. Who really knows? There weren't necessarily three of them. There could have been more, less. Again, we don't know. And they probably didn't come on the night of Jesus' birth. But whether there were two, three, or even 20, if they didn't quite make it in time to, say, boil the water for Jesus' birth, they played a significant role in Matthew's gospel. Probably one of the most important things about them, as I've tried to gather from Matthew, was that they were not Jews. It doesn't explicitly say this, but they were not Jews. In fact, they were what Paul considers Gentiles, which is anybody that's not a Jew. So they were these Gentile men. So what does that mean? Why is that important to Matthew? Well, today is Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany Sunday refers to us as the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles, of the Christ, the image and the knowledge and the power of him being shown to everyone who is not a Jew. And I think, if I remember right, this is the first story of that, or maybe just the most important one. I can't remember off the top of my head. But this passage of Scripture is about the opening of God's good news to the entire world, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what religion you follow. These wise men, these outsiders, they represent this. That Jesus came to save all the people, not just the select few, not just the nation of Israel, but for everybody. In fact, these men, they followed every one of the descriptions I just said. No matter who you are, where you're from, they weren't from the Israel community. What you look like, they probably looked a little different. And what religion you follow, they didn't follow Judaism. They didn't follow the living God as we know, that the Israelites knew at this time. They were actually astrologers. They followed the faith of astrology. And they used that to find the baby Jesus. Now, Matthew, what he's saying here is not that astrology is okay. We see in the Old Testament as well as New Testament not to follow another faith, not to follow specifically this astrology. So it's sort of crazy how you throw it in there. But Matthew, he uses it nonetheless, uses these wise men. These wise men who aren't talked about in any other gospel. In any case, God, he meets us where we are. God, he seeks us no matter what kind of circumstances we're in. And God can use anything to get our attention, anything at all. Just like he did with these wise men of a different faith. He used a star, which is what astrology follows. They follow the lining up of the planets and how the stars circle the sun. I don't even know all the details. But they follow this to make decisions on a daily basis, to predict the future, to predict the past, however that goes. But God, he can draw us to Jesus from where we are by whatever path we follow. A man named Neil Cole wrote a book called Organic Church. It talks about a young man named Sean. Sean was this amazing musician before drugs took him away from all of that. He ended up selling all his instruments to feed his drug habit, lost all of his jobs because he would steal constantly to try to get more. Sean, he was circling around the drain, about to go down for the last time when Neil Cole here invited him to church. Cole writes, "I must admit, I was surprised when Sean came, and even more surprised when he came back again and again. Eventually, he began to smile again and become part of the family of the church. But even though Sean, he became this great Christian man, he continued to slide back into this addiction. He couldn't quite kick it. So he sat down to meet with the pastor, Neil Cole, here. Cole said, I'll take you to rehab. Let's go. Let's get you some help. Sean didn't like that idea. I don't know if he tried it in the past. Whatever happened, that wasn't for him. Well, then Cole, the pastor, he had this crazy radical idea. This is pretty crazy. When I read this, I never would have thought of this. He said, "Let's get in the car right now. Let's drive over to your drug dealer's house and tell them about Jesus." He said, "Maybe if your drug dealer gets saved, it'll cut you off from your source." Well, Sean said, "Okay, let's go." Granted, he was skeptical. He said, "That's not going to work." But he said, "All right, let's go." Again, I don't know if the pastor really thought this through. It was a pop-off idea. Whatever it was, but they went. The dealer ended up being his next-door neighbor. He was a mother of three. He went and knocked on the door and sat down and talked to her, shared the gospel with her. And from that point on, he never did drugs again. He was free from them. The power of the gospel received and also given to others transformed his heart and hers as well. As you see here, many people come to Jesus in many different ways. Whoever these wise men were, they show us that we can never predict how God will bring us or someone else to Jesus. They teach us not only in the strange way they come to Jesus through this foreign faith that doesn't quite add up, but they also teach us in the way they leave him. So that's our second point today. So a little context. We know here that King Herod, he's lurking behind the scenes this entire story. He set up this whole scripture verse we read today. Now, he's unable to see the good news behind the birth of Jesus because he sees with jealousy over Jesus as a threat to his power. this newborn king. Herod wasn't about that. He was the king. No one was going to take that from him. So he makes a very foolish and dangerous decision to try to hold back what God had intended. As we read even from the Psalms today, of what God had intended throughout the history of the earth. With a fake smile on his face and treachery in his heart, he invites these wise men in for a talk, claiming he wants to go and honor this newborn king. Herod, he asked the wise men to let him know where Jesus was. You know, a little backtrack, and I think it's funny how often we skip over this other part here in Matthew's gospel. When Herod also talks to the chief priests and the lawmakers, or the legal experts at the time, these people knew the prophecies. They knew where Jesus was to be born. They knew about the star. They knew about the place. They knew about everything. They saw these signs lining up. When the wise men came and said, "Hey, this prophecy is coming true," they trembled along with Herod. They knew it. These men who had devoted their lives to studying the law and the prophets and their teachings knew where he was to be born and all the signs. They knew the circumstances of his birth, yet they seemed to show no interest in checking things out for themselves when it all seemed to be coming true. They seemed unable or maybe unwilling to put their knowledge into action. They lived here with Herod at the center of power. They had a nice, comfortable life. They didn't seem to really care what was happening at the margins, even though the margins was really at the center of their faith. They had all these scriptures in their hands, yet missed the birth of the Messiah. Do we sometimes hold the truth in our hands, but miss the living Lord around us? Their behaviors, attitudes, and allegiances seem to be radically different from those of these foreign, sinful astrologers. Herod and his minions, they represent all those who claim a noble purpose, but who act out of self-interest and greed. They stand in for all of those who clutch for power without regard of those who get hurt from it. Now, historically, when Herod was frightened for his kingship, frightened that someone was going to take it over, someone usually died. Someone got hurt really bad. Once, nervous and insecure, Herod had ordered his wife, brother-in-law, and his uncle killed. Another time, he had his mother-in-law and several of his sons executed. Just because, especially the sons, they were princes. They were future kings. And he didn't want them to do it too early. So he said, "I'm going to get rid of you." And of course, we know right after our scripture reading that Herod had all the male children in Bethlehem and around the surrounding area who were 2 years old and younger executed as well, trying to get to Jesus, trying to get this fear, this anxiety and nervousness out. Herod's plan to kill Jesus might have worked if God hadn't stepped in. Here we see him speaking to the wise men in a way they could understand through a dream, which is another part of astrology. They love dreams. The symbols and signs and dreams with the planets all line up to help them make their daily decisions. But he spoke to them through a dream. God points them to a different path, away from Herod, not to go back. These wise men, had taught us something by the way they came to Jesus. Now they're teaching us how they leave. They went back to their own country by another route. I think it could be that Matthew, he's offering us a hint about life for those who have met Christ. Nothing is ever the same after you find Jesus. You don't take the same roads you did before. Instead, you unfold a new map and you discover a new way. Sort of like Sean did earlier. When we stand up after we kneel before Jesus, we are called to go down another road, worshiping Jesus not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night services or whatever you go to, but worshiping every day at all times. And in that, it provides strength and motivation to fight back against this greed, oppression, injustice, fear, insecurities that Herod shows us. If we kneel before Jesus, we rise ready for another road, bear us ready for this another path that God presents before us. This path away from the evil of the world to his heart. So now we might have some new things to think about when we see the wise men in the nativity scene and on the Christmas cards each year. Maybe we know a little bit more about them, or a little bit more of what they could mean to our lives. They remind us that God welcomes us. Wherever we may have started out at, wherever we are now, wherever we're going to be, he welcomes us. They show us that the call to worship Jesus is also a call to resist this evil, resist this temptation, to go down a different road, to change your life. As we begin this new year, let us kneel before Christ and pledge ourselves to follow his road, his way, his route, for our sake and for the sake of the entire world, to bring the kingdom of God here to all those around us. As I try to say every Sunday, I don't know, I think that's my point for last year, and I guess this year too, kingdom of God on earth. That's the road we're called to follow. For the way of Christ is the only road that's going somewhere. It's not a dead end. And praise be to God for it. Amen. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this day you've given us to gather here and worship you. Lord, thank you for calling each and every one of us, extending mercy and your love and compassion to meet us where we are. No matter what we've done, no matter what we do, you're always there, opening your heart to us. And let's follow this new path you set before us this new year, to go down the straight and narrow, to follow the race, as Paul said. Follow this race set before us, to be like the wise men and follow him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.